I'm a huge planner, so whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs. And use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
When the teacher was asking about, like, what do you want to be in life? And he said, happy. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But that is so fundamentally important in the time that we live right now, where I think that, you know, everyone has their own type of happy. They have their own type of, you know, self-fulfillment. And it's not like everyone else. So I definitely think it's really important to kind of understand what it is that makes each person happy and not be so focused on goals.
Thank you so much to everyone who's watching or listening right now. I'm so excited to introduce our next guest. I was introduced to her content by my sister over 6 years ago, and just remembering being completely captivated by her charisma, her energy, and a genuine and authentic feeling that came through the camera. And then very recently, I connected with her incredible sister Mona, who's also been on the podcast. And then I was just completely amazed that I had this opportunity to reconnect with this incredible human being, incredible person. And today's the first time we're meeting, and I'm getting to interview her. And I love interviewing people the first time because I feel it allows us to build a real relationship and bond very quickly. You almost have to be forced to become best friends. So I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. Her name is Huda Khatan. She is the CEO and founder of Huda Beauty and starring in, of course, the reality show that we spoke about on Facebook Watch called Huda Boss, which I absolutely love. So Huda, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Jay. It's an honor to be here with you.
No, I'm so grateful that you've taken out the time. I know you're so busy in London. You're launching products. You're here with your family. And I genuinely want to make everyone aware we're so fortunate to be with you. So thank you.
This was the most important thing to do here. So happy to be here.
That's the sweetest. Now you literally are, and I was saying this to Mona too, you're literally a beauty phenomenon.
Thank you.
And the way you present it through your work, through your videos, through your media is so refreshing. Especially as someone who never really consumed content in the beauty world, but definitely looking to that world because I feel it sets such a standard for how people feel about themselves. And so much of my work is about how people feel. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the beauty industry itself, but specifically on the role of self-love and how you manage the two.
Gosh, where do you begin? I definitely think the beauty industry has come a long way. And it's funny because I've had conversations around this, especially recently, about the fact that one of the things that I think has been missing in the beauty industry, and we have a lot of it now, is the fact that people don't like to show their vulnerable side. And I know you talk about that a lot. You talk about so many things that are sensitive to people. And I think the fact that we really kind of honed in on that, we showed strong before and afters. When I first started doing my videos, doing, you know, some things that were really embarrassing, I was embarrassed to put myself on a video without makeup and not knowing my angles, not knowing those things. It's hard. But you really want to show people that they can be a part of that. And I think it's worked really well for our brand, just, you know, trying to show people that, like, look, we're not all perfect. In fact, some of us don't really feel great without makeup, and some of us have issues that we're trying to go through, but we're all trying to go through it together. And I think it's really important to be really, really real. And, you know, as a result, to show that really sometimes sensitive, uncomfortable, embarrassed, vulnerable side of who you are. I think it's very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. There's such a need for that transparency and authenticity. And I know that you've even turned down deals.
Oh, yeah.
to be able to keep that.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I thought that was incredible, because today in the world we live in of sponsorships and partnerships, it's so easy to get carried away. Tell us about that and how you've managed to hold on to that.
That is not easy. Let me tell you, when somebody comes to you, like sometimes offering you multi-million dollar deals, and you really want to do them because you think, oh, yeah, that's a lot of money. But ultimately, I think there's a great power in focus. I'm a super focused person. I think that anything that derails your focus, you know, anything that you do that is not in your focus just basically takes a little piece of that pie of what you're trying to achieve. So I'm a firm believer in focus. And ultimately, could we do paid posts? Could we do those things? Or when people do them, is there anything wrong with them? Absolutely not. But I just think for me personally, it was just, you know, we kind of identified early on that our goal was to give out free information. We really want to give out, you know, kind of similar to what you do. You know, like you could easily write tons of books. You could easily do so many things, you know, and I'm sure you will, but you give out so much free information. And I feel like that's why I feel like you are the future. You know, I was telling you that when you walked in, I feel like you were the future. I feel like that is the future where people need to be more giving. And I think that can kind of then help you. And when we talk about self-love, oh my gosh, like that is like, that's like opening Pandora's box.
Let's do it.
Well, because there's so much to say about that. And I think if I think about my personal journey with self-love,
yeah.
You know, to get really vulnerable right now, I actually didn't realize for the longest time, you know, as a child, you know, as I've been dealing with different things in my life, as I've come into being a professional in the beauty industry and being where I am, I didn't realize that the thing that I was missing the most was self-love. And it's so funny because you achieve some success, you know, or what you perceive to be successful. And then all of a sudden you start self-sabotaging yourself. Like, I don't deserve this. I don't belong here. I'm not like, you know, not that you're a phony, but like, you know, you think everybody around you is somehow has some magic that you are missing, you know? And it's the craziest thing because I think in the day and age that we live in, it's so easily to compare yourself to people. You go through social media, you see different people, you know, as humans, I think we are given a gift to be able to live vicariously through people. But then when you're done with that, you're sometimes left with emotions of emptiness, emotions of, you know, that, you know, my sister, who's a genius, she's brilliant. She once said to me, she's like, you know, comparison is a thief of joy, which I know is a quote, I think, by Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes.
But and she's full of great quotes, by the way. She's like a walking like dictionary of quotes. But when she said to me, I was like, you know, it's just, it's crazy because we continuously compare ourselves to other people. We go through social media, we see all these things. And even if you've achieved what you wanted to achieve, you then do that. And then all of a sudden discounts everything you've done. And then you don't feel worthy of what you're doing. You don't feel worthy of going to the next step. And I didn't realize that was the thing that I was missing the most for the longest time. You know, that self-worth, that value. And I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people might be like, well, that's insane. You know, you have a husband who loves you, you have a daughter, you have a successful business. But then if that was missing, that was like the one thing that was missing. So I never felt like worthy of anything I was doing. And it took me, I think, getting our investors to invest in us, where it was like all of a sudden, you know, you don't think you're good enough, you know, for whatever reason. And the industry all of a sudden now is recognizing that you're good enough. Everybody is here. Like this is something saying, yes, you've made it. You are officially equal to everyone else. No, in fact, you've achieved something that is, you know, quite amazing. And then I was just, you know, I was depressed. I was really depressed. We got this amazing investment, and I think it was like probably one of the lowest times in my life. You know, and it took me a lot to kind of realize I was like missing that self-love, you know, and that was like the next step that I need to really get into.
Thank you for sharing that so openly.
Yeah, of course.
And it's great for everyone to hear, because I feel almost from an outside perspective, we all have this belief that once we hit a certain level of success, that feeling goes away.
Yeah.
Once you make a certain amount of money, feeling goes away. And I do want to congratulate you on, all your incredible success. But at the same time, it's so beautiful to hear you say that, because self-love is so often lost. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm diving into it totally off the cuff, because it's there in my intuition right now to say it, that we struggle with self-love because often we get known for that which we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So we often get known. But for you, you were getting known for who you were and what you were and what you loved. Where did your self-love process start? Like, what were the things that you started with? If someone's listening right now and they're struggling, where do they start?
I really think you need to dig deep, though. You need to find out what is the reason that you've been telling yourself that all of a sudden when you achieve something, you know, my thing was like, okay, something good happens, now something bad's going to happen. Because I can't push through to the next step. Like, I was putting a ceiling on myself to where I was almost like, you know what, we've achieved so much success. Oh my God, amazing things are going to happening. Everything's, you know, going perfectly as planned, and if not better. And now all of a sudden, no, something bad's going to happen. Terrible. That's going to set me back. You know, and it was like, I had to realize that I was putting that ceiling on myself. And I think I really started to need to understand that, no, that's not going to happen. But it was hard. It took a lot of, I think, journaling. I'm a big fan of journaling. I journal like crazy.
Yeah.
And I almost started speaking out loud. I actually said some things out loud to myself. Okay, so this is what I think is going to happen. Really ridiculous things. Like, oh my gosh, like, you know, my house is going to, something's going to happen here. I mean, you know, all these like worrying thoughts that I had. I was like, oh my God, this is going to happen here. This is my family. Something's going to happen to my family. And I was like saying it out loud. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
Mm.
I have all these like fears that, you know, as we've made it further, that I'm going to be taken back. And I had to realize that I was really self-sabotaging myself ultimately, because I didn't think I deserved to go farther. And I just need to be really honest with myself. So I started journaling a lot.
Mm.
And, you know, some of those issues come from childhood.
Yes. In fact, I was going to ask you, where do you think they come from?
I think when I, you know, I grew up in a very interesting, you know, circumstance. I think a lot of people go through, you know, where you just feel like an outsider, you feel like you don't belong. And I think that kind of stayed with me, where I felt like I never was good enough. And I did, maybe when I first started, maybe I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder where I felt like I wasn't good enough and I was trying to prove things and I need to continue to working hard, you know, work as hard as possible so I could be like, you know, like everyone else. It definitely came from my childhood, you know, but it shouldn't have continued with me.
Yeah.
You know, and that was probably one of the biggest mistakes, was taking it with me for so, so long. I mean, for 20 plus years.
Mm.
And it's hard. I think it's hard to shake. I don't know if I've completely shaken all of it. I know certainly I have not.
Yeah.
But I'm still working on it.
Yeah. Well, two questions. What are you doing to shake it off? What are you doing to work through it? So journaling was one of them, you said.
Big time.
Tell us your journaling process that works for you. As simple as it is, or as complex as it is, walk us through it.
So I'm a huge fan of journaling. I don't believe journaling should be there to vent. I think if you're mad at somebody, don't journal.
Okay.
Don't journal. Like, I hate this person, because sometimes when I got mad at my husband, I would journal and then I would like forgive him. I'd be like,
oh
my God, let me like shut these pages. I hope he never sees them, because he's an amazing man. But you know, every once in a while you get mad at people and then you go, you know, when you're mad, it doesn't make sense. I think journaling should be reserved there, should be as a book of epiphanies. That's what I like to think of it as. My journals have always been things that I like to, you know, I'm like kind of looking at life. I've realized something. I'm like, okay, I need to jot this down. Or maybe sometimes I just need to talk to somebody out loud. And quite frankly, sometimes you can be your best friend. So kind of speaking out loud, writing those issues that you start to kind of unfold some of the answers to your problems. And so I'm a huge fan of journaling, and I think that's what it should be reserved for. Epiphanies and walking your way through, you know, life's whatever dilemmas that it brings.
Will we ever see the Book of Epiphanies on our bookshelves?
I've thought about it.
Yeah, have you?
I have thought about it, but some of it's really personal.
Right, yeah, I can
but
imagine.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've been journaling for over 10 years, so maybe. Mm. Gosh.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
do you date them as well?
I do.
Can you look back as to what you were doing?
I do that all the time.
Oh,
so I put where I was, and it's so crazy because I remember looking through some of my journal entries and, you know, it's crazy the problems that you had then, but they still are the same problems, just like different levels of problems, but still the same fundamental problems, like at the basics of them, they're still the same. And it's really crazy because you think that you've progressed so far, but there really is that inner work that you need to do. Otherwise, those issues will continue throughout your entire life.
Tell us about one that you saw recently that surprised you, or anyone that you can remember that you thought, oh, wow, I can't remember that's where I was a few years back, or a certain experience or feeling.
I definitely have like a couple that I think make me think about life very differently. When I think when we were trying to build our brand, when we were trying to, you know, do different things, we always, you know, were waiting for an opportunity. And there was always like, you know, opportunities that were coming to us that we really wanted to close because we're like, this can change our lives. This is going to change our brand. This is going to change everything. And sometimes they didn't go through. And, you know, it took me some time to realize that, like, and I think I've talked about this before, but like, I was my break. You know, I always wanted a break, but I realized that I was my break. Like, you don't need anything to take you to the next level. All you need is yourself, conviction that you're going to go to the next level. But until you've done that, you're always going to be waiting, you know? And I don't think it's ever going to change. You're going to be waiting, you know, whether it's 2010, 2011, 2012, you're going to consistently be in that state of waiting. Mm. And it took me some realizing, you know, going through my blog to realize that I was my own break.
Yeah. And how did you shake that feeling and that experience of like parental expectations? You studied finance.
Yeah.
The kind of path that's paved for you of doing certain traditional aspects. How did you shake that off and stop waiting and realize that you had to be your break? Because I think that's something that so many people struggle with.
Yeah. I think it's normal too. I think people just like, you know, you wanna please other people. You wanna do certain things to make other people happy. But the reality is, you know, I'll be honest, I'm a rebel. I am a hardcore rebel. Like, and it's so funny because when I found out, I did that personality test, and I, you know, there's something called the four tendencies. Have you heard of
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I'm a rebel.
Okay.
What are you?
Me too.
You are?
I'm a
oh
rebel.
My God.
I'm a rebel through and through. Yeah, absolutely.
I am such a rebel. Yeah. And when I found out I was a rebel, I was like, no, I don't want to be a rebel.
You didn't want to?
No.
I was like the happiest. I think my ego got a massive boost from it.
I was so devastated because I was like, what does a rebel mean? Like, you know, I don't listen to inner and outer expectations. What does that mean? And I think that did help me because a lot of times when people would say things, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't do it unless I want to do it. And I think shifting that, like making sure that I got my needs fulfilled, it actually helped me be a better family member. My parents wanted me to marry an Arab Muslim man from like the same town that they were from. And I was just like, that's not going to happen. Like, I think for your benefit, because you want me to be happy. And then, you know, slowly but surely, they realized that me ultimately being happy was the right thing. And I did, you know, I did care about, I had the core values that they had. I cared about family. I cared about, you know, being, you know, a good person in society. So as long as I had those values and I could reiterate it to them, then they started giving me a little leeway. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy. My husband went through a lot. He's a very patient man.
That's awesome. I mean, obviously, this is a shorter interview and I can't wait to really dive deep with you one day.
Yeah,
like,
I love
I'm really
that.
Looking forward to like getting into a really meaningful, deep conversation. But
I won't wear makeup so we can cry.
Let's do that. Mona nearly made me cry at the end of her. So we were nearly there. But I always, at the end of every interview, do a final five in the final 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which are questions that I really want to get quick answers, but you can go deep if you want to, because you have awesome insight. So you said, obviously, we're cutting this interview short because you so beautifully want to spend time with your daughter, which I think is an incredible priority.
Thank you.
And you said she's your number one priority.
She is, always.
How do you make that happen? Like, how does that happen for someone who's as busy as you are, traveling as much as you are?
Do you know, I started realizing there were certain things that I needed. And it wasn't super huge, but there were certain things that I needed with her every single day to feel fulfilled for her and myself. So that is the morning. I like to spend the first 45 minutes of my day with her. And then the evening, I like to spend at least the last 2 hours of our day together, whether, you know, and it's funny, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But it took me kind of like jotting those things down. And when I don't do those things, I'm constantly trying to play catch up. I want to pick her up from school and then I ruin my office time, you know? And so it was just understanding there were certain things that were really good for her, really good for me. I wasn't bothered and I could like fully focus on her. And so that's what I do. I just spend like the morning and the evening with her. And it's really like, I don't look at my phone. She doesn't look at her phone. We don't usually go out either. Mm. We're just at home making popcorn, tickling each other. I know it sounds really basic, but that's what we do. It's like the best time.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. No, it's beautiful. It's great. I think it's wonderful for people to hear that.
Yeah.
What's your number one advice to anyone who wants to begin their self-love journey? If they could do one thing from today, what would be the best place for them to start?
I think it's really important to understand, you know, why you do some of the things that you do. You know, if you have a goal, what is the reason behind the goal? And I think that's really important because people always put out goals. We all know you need to plan, you need to put goals out, you need to, you know, figure out the process in order to achieve your goals. But do we ever think about why we want them? And I think understanding the why really helps us, because most of the time you can start getting some of that need right away, or you can reframe yourself to figure out, you know, how you can really achieve full happiness. I was actually listening to something. You've said so many amazing things, but I was listening to something today and it was about that kid who, you know, when the teacher was asking about like, what do you want to be in life? And he said, happy. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But that is so fundamentally important in the time that we live right now, where I think that, you know, everyone has their own type of happy. They have their own type of, you know, self-fulfillment, and it's not like everyone else. So I definitely think it's really important to kind of understand what it is that makes each person happy and not be so focused on goals. Is that weird that I'm saying? Don't be so goal-oriented.
No, not at all. Not at all. I love paradoxes.
Yeah, right.
And I think all of us are living paradoxes.
Totally.
And I think 100%. There's this push to be like this or that.
Totally.
But you can be both.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, I think that's the beauty in where we live. You know, I remember when I first wanted to become really successful, I had like this negative picture of, you know, what it meant to be successful, of what it meant to have wealth and money. And I was like, I don't want to be like that. Mm. Like, I want to make sure if we do become successful, I still want to give. I still want to care. I want to be a philanthropist. I want to do all those things. And so, you know, as we've gone through our journey, that's always been like the most important thing. And so I don't think that, you know, I don't think that people who have money are bad, you know, but I think it's really important making sure that you understand why you believe those things and understand how you can kind of counter those things as well. Because there is that equilibrium of where you can exist in both worlds.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know
absolutely. No. I'm nodding along, and I'm sure everyone at home is too, or at work. But question number three is, what is one business lesson you wish you knew earlier when you started?
Oh, patience. Yeah. Oh man, I still need to learn that. I need to like go back and reread all my journal entries about patience. We have an Arabic saying that I do like a lot. It's kult akhira fil khira, and it's like every delay has its blessing. And I didn't realize that when I was working. I like wanted things to close right away, and then every time it didn't, I would be devastated. And then when they did, when a different opportunity came, it was always so much better. So I think it's patience is really important.
I love that.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, and your fourth one is, I know you have this mantra called, what would Oprah do?
I love Oprah.
I wanted to know where that came from, and give me a situation where it's worked.
Well, it definitely changes the way I do things a lot of times. The paid post, actually, because Oprah doesn't do paid posts. But I think she's just so incredible. You know, she's basically gone through so many hurdles in life where things could have gone a different way. In fact, more than likely they should have, but they didn't. Mm. And I feel like she gives people like that hope, you know, and the fact that like what can happen when you do persevere, when you are relentless, when you push through, and when you don't let certain people's conversations or, you know, the way they talk to you affect you. So I like to think about her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, things probably should have gone another way for her, and she made sure they didn't.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely. I love it. I love seeing the energy in your face from
that.
It. It's awesome.
I love her. It's awesome. I want to meet her and hug her.
Yeah.
And then die.
No. We need you. Fifth and final question. What big impact do you want to have on the world? What do you want your legacy to be?
For me, you know, through this journey in beauty and what we do, and as an influencer too, I want to make sure that people know that there are choices that they can make, that they do not have to be a certain aspect of beauty. They don't have to be a certain type of influencer. There's so many opportunities. We've taken our responsibility so seriously as influencers. We always try to show the opposite. I felt like when we were coming out, there was a certain type of influencer. There was a certain type of, you know, personality. We always wanted to be the opposite of it, you know, where, you know, I may swear like crazy, but I don't want to swear in my post. I just want to think of it a little bit more responsibly. Mm. You know, I may dress a certain way, but when I'm in the public, I always try to make sure that I'm a representative of what a woman can be, you know? And so I think taking responsibility and trying to show people that you can, you know, they can be whatever they want in the beauty industry. Like, I love to see women who are covering their head and just killing it. You know, there's that paradox that you're talking about, you know, that you can still be so many different kinds of who you are and be in the beauty industry, no matter, you know, if you're any different color, if you have certain, you know, issues that are holding you back. Like we've worked with, you know, we've seen like a lot of people have burn victims and people with, you know, who don't necessarily have hands sometimes put makeup on, but they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's just so beautiful. Like nothing is going to stop them. And I hope that we can continue to share content that proves that and continue to be examples of that as well.
Yeah.
It's really important to us.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. We've been placing these limitations. Like you can't be meaningful if you're in the beauty industry or if you're in business, you can't be a good person.
And totally.
The more we place these limits, we live up to them.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, I can't. So
like, who put that there?
Yeah.
Society put that there.
I literally ask all of like, who made this stuff up? You know, and it's, we buy into stuff that just other people made up.
Just, you know, I think it really comes down to starting. I think everything changes, and I'm sure, you know, you can attest to this. Everything changes when you change the way you think. And that's like what you need to start with, you know, asking yourself those questions about who put those limits there?
Yeah.
Why can't you do those things?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. So. And thank you for being such an incredible role model for so many people.
Thank you
for showing.
Like you.
No, I mean it. No, thank you for being someone that people can look up to in so many different ways.
Thank
being
you.
An incredible entrepreneur, being an incredible influencer, and more than all of that, being an incredible mother too.
Thank you.
And
most important job.
Yeah, and an incredible human who's really setting the standard of how a new wave of leaders can be change makers through any industry in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a rebel.
Yeah, thank you. Rebels are cool, right?
Rebels are the best. Yeah, rebels are cool. But thank you to everyone who's been watching and listening. This was a short, brief snippet insight into Huda's life. I'm so excited to dive deeper, but I want to make sure she goes and spends some time with her daughter too.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you for
thank you
me.
So much for making time. I am so grateful.
It's my honor.
And I'm excited to spend so much more time with
Definitely.
You.
Definitely.
And build a lifelong friendship.
So we're going to do a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. Life can be a wild ride, and sometimes our gut gets thrown off track. So that butterfly in your stomach? It's probably not from excitement. It's more likely from stress or certain food choices you had for breakfast. And Ritual can help you get things back on track. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Every morning, I start my day with Synbiotic Plus. It's now an essential part of my daily routine. With its blend of prebiotics, postbiotics, and all that good stuff, I'm giving my gut the love it needs to tackle whatever comes its way throughout the day. There's no shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whenever I travel, I feel like I become a new person. Like that time I explored the bustling streets of New York, I felt like I became Curious Jay, immersing myself in the vibrant culture and sampling exotic street food. And then there was that trip to the mountains where I transformed into Adventurous Jay, conquering hiking trails and embracing the breathtaking scenery. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to for all my adventures. Whether I'm exploring the bustling streets of New York or venturing into the serene mountains, Booking.com has a wide variety of options, offering accommodations all across the US and all around the world that suit every kind of traveler. So when you're ready to plan your next trip and discover new sides of yourself, remember to book with Booking.com. Whether you're craving adventure in a cabin, a bit of luxury in a fancy hotel, some quality family time in a vacation rental, or just some chill vibes at a beachside resort, Booking.com has you covered. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, booking.yeah. Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back. I am genuinely so grateful and excited to introduce you to our next guest. She's a recent friend, but someone I feel like I've known forever. Literally, the first time we met, I believe that she was a kindred spirit, a long-lost friend, and someone that I immediately and instantly had a heart connection with. She's someone that I'm excited to have a friendship with for the rest of my life. And her background and experience is absolutely phenomenal. And you're going to learn so many incredible insights about business, about entrepreneurship, but also about heart, soul, purpose, meaning, passion. And she is none other than the global president and co-founder of Huda Beauty. Her name is Mona Khitan, a true beauty phenomenon.
Thank you so much, Jay. You're incredible. I can't even
begin to describe how amazing you are. So thank you so much. Thank you. This is such an honor.
I'm
so grateful.
You're the sweetest. Like from the moment we met you, and we literally met in LA maybe a month ago now.
I think so. Yeah,
and
I think it was a month ago.
We got connected through Facebook, which we both work very closely with. And when they reached out and said that we wanted to connect, I was so happy.
Thank you.
And then when I met you, your energy from the moment we met just like radiated.
Thank you so much.
And the reason why I'm so excited to share you with my audience is because I believe that you're exactly the type of leader, entrepreneur, and business person that the world needs to admire and look up to as a role model.
So blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's so kind.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would love to help inspire anyone in any way I can.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the world knows you as an incredible beauty phenomenon, all the incredible work you've done. I want to start off by asking you this question of how do you define beauty and what beauty really means to you?
It's a big question. I do really, not to sound cliche, but I do really feel that beauty starts from within. I think that in order to feel beautiful, you need to feel it inside, because no matter how much makeup you have, no matter how much symmetry you have in your face, how perfect your body, your hair is, you're never going to feel great unless you love yourself. And also, I feel like you need to love others as well. Like, you need to just have a happy, kind heart. So it really does start from within. And I think it's good to take care of both parts, inside and outside, to really feel your best and have the most confidence. So I really do, for myself anyway, I like to start from inside myself and just make sure that I'm happy and I have that inner peace before I put my makeup on. You know, that's why first thing in the morning, I'll put on some meditation music, I'll pray, I'll really count my blessings before I even think about, you know, makeup and hair and everything else. That's fun. I'm not going to say it's not. That's my second favorite part of the day, but the first part starts within.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. And for anyone who's listening right now, I'm sure you could listen to Mona's voice all day. We were just talking about before about how you could meditate to your own voice. You don't meditate to your own voice.
No. but I'll try it.
tell us a bit more about that. And when did that self-love almost become a part of your life? Like, when did that become a priority for you? Or was it something that was always there and there from your childhood?
I've always been very spiritual. My family is very spiritual. My mom is super spiritual. She just prays all day. That's all she does. So I've always seen that growing up. So I've always felt that in order to feel completely good about yourself and just to feel calm in life, you need to have a connection with the higher power, whatever it may be. So I've always prayed from my heart. So I think that my entire life, I've always felt that I need to have that connection. But it was really, I think, when I turned around 23, 24, that I realized, like, you really need this. It's not an option. Like, for me to feel good, I need to have this connection. So I started looking inside out rather than outside in, and it just changed everything.
And was there a specific moment at that age, or was it just growing up and starting real life almost, because that's kind of that age?
I think I came to a point where I hit everything on my bucket list of, like, checklist of things that I wanted to achieve for myself, like maybe outside. And I just didn't feel happy. So I was like, you know, there must be something that I need more than this checklist that I have that society kind of creates for you.
Wow.
So I was like, I need to look for something deeper.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening, I'm sure we all have these long bucket lists.
Yes.
Tell us about your morning routine, because you kind of touched on it there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I want to unpack that more is that's amazing. Because you lead a really, and we'll get to this, but you lead an extremely busy life. You run a huge business. You're always traveling all across the world. And I'm sure it's not perfect all the time, as I know for myself as well. Yeah, and that's cool too. But tell us about how you started forming that program, that morning routine of meditation, meditational music, prayer, etc. Tell us about what it looks like.
Well, to be honest, it didn't really get organized until about a year ago. Before that, it was kind of scattered. Like, I had all the same ideas, but I wasn't doing it in an organized way. So it was about a year ago where I just hit this breaking point of, like, I need some structure in my life. And I need to feel more calm, because I just had too much anxiety. There was, like, so much change in the business and just our family life, because we worked together. So it was just constant change. And I was like, I need to find a way to just find peace. So me and Huda together, we just decided every morning we're going to have, like, our own little hour together where we talk and we meditate, we give thanks, we count our blessings, and we really try to manifest as well about our goals and everything that we want to achieve together. And it really transformed everything. We play meditation music, we pray, and it's about 1 hour in the day. And honestly, that 1 hour changes everything. It's changed things so significantly. And even our relationship improved, because we talk about everything that's on our mind and we help each other out. So I think having that with someone or even on your own, it's just important to figure out what's on your mind, because sometimes you don't know what's on your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just like foggy and you have no idea why until you just get it out.
That's amazing. It's so special.
So it's only 1 hour.
That's a lot of time.
But I don't think everybody has to have the same sort of structure, but for me it works. It's just that 1 hour where I probably do about 20 minutes of prayer and 20 minutes of manifesting, and then 20 minutes of just like talking and talking about your problems and finding solutions together. And it really has worked for me. I would like to do more, but it's a start. So it's been so transformational, and I recommend it to anyone to try and find that hour they can just dedicate to themselves.
Yeah, that's so special. And guide us through, if you like, and you don't have to, but that kind of manifestation process that you use for your work, because I think people hear this term everywhere. I think we talked about it last time. Like, it's become a popular term. The Secret talked about it a lot. And there's been so many almost versions of it. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear about it from someone who I believe is a very sincere practitioner of it. I feel like it's a genuine thing for you. I'd love for you to kind of guide us through that process.
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, it's typically just a matter of repeating our goals every single day and kind of speaking about them in the present tense. So we talk about all the things we want to achieve as if it's already happening. And we spend a good 20 minutes on this every single day. And I think that makes you feel a lot closer to your goals. And it's funny because we looked back at our journals from like a year ago, and it's like, I think 60 to 70% have happened, which kind of blew my mind. I was like, this is insane. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we just try to spend more time speaking about our goals than speaking about our problems. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny, but unfortunately, a lot of people do the opposite. They talk about their problems probably 90% of the time, and 10% of the time they talk about what they aspire to achieve. And I just think flipping that around just changes everything. I don't think you should not acknowledge your problems, because we all have them, but I think just focus on everything that you want the majority of the time and you'll get more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such great advice. Such great advice. I think so much of our lives are totally the opposite. Mm-hmm. You're so right. We're complaining, we're comparing, we're criticizing, we're lost in that that negative world that and then that keeps expanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And something we started to do recently is we just kind of outlined all of our goals, and then under each goal, you kind of put together 10 steps that can make this happen. And I'm sure you've talked about this before, and you do this, I'm sure, but it's just a matter of like finding ways to achieve that faster. And the more you look at that piece of paper, even though it sounds so simple, it's just the more that will come into reality, I feel. Mm. So it's super simple. I don't want people to be disappointed because it's like, okay, that's it. But it does make a big difference. It's like simplicity is genius, right? Just keep it simple. Keep looking at your goals all day. Repeat them. Write them down 100 times a day if you want to. And I just think the more you invest in that, the faster they're going to come into reality.
Mm, absolutely. It's beautiful to hear how simple it is for you. And one of my favorite quotes from Einstein is, if you can't explain something simply, you don't understand it well enough.
That's so true.
And so hearing you explain it that way, and even though you find it so simple, I'm glad that it's simple, because everyone who's listening, I hope you've got your notebooks and your notepads out right now, because this is real advice. And I think this is the work that people don't take the time to do. But the beautiful thing about you and Huda is that not only have you written down your goals, repeated them, built this prayer, meditation, manifestation morning, you also work really hard. And I think that's sometimes often lost, like the amount of hard work, dedication, the commitment that it takes to build something as incredible as you have. And guide us through that as well, like the beautiful balance between manifesting and then making things happen, like actually turning up.
It is really hard. The crazy thing is that initially we worked hard first before we were manifesting. So that's where I think we were just putting so much time and effort into everything that we did. And we didn't really see the results very fast. So it became until when we started manifesting and working hard that we actually saw the results fast enough. Because I think both of us have just had really high work ethics since we were children. My father worked since he was 7 years old. He helped support his family as a child. So like we always saw him being a workaholic. And till this day, he's retired. He's 75, but he just works constantly. Like now I think he's in Michigan helping my brother with his PhD. And I'm like, Dad, relax, here, you know, enjoy yourself. He's like, no. He just wants to work all the time. So I think no matter what we would have been doing in life, like we'd want to work hard. It just gives me satisfaction. Like I couldn't imagine life otherwise. And again, it doesn't mean it has to be tied to a job or a number. It could be working hard in charity. It's just like feeling that I'm making a difference is so important. And I mean, I like having fun too, but I actually get more satisfaction out of working.
I can relate to you. Right? I'm like on the same wavelength.
It just feels good. And I think it's important to have fun while you're working. That's like the best combination ever. So if you can find something, you know, career-wise where you can do that, that's great and it's the best. But my entire life, even when I was in banking and I didn't really like my job, I was working hard. I just don't know otherwise. And I think that if you want to succeed in anything in life, whether it's a career goal, a relationship goal, a health goal, or a personal goal, you need to work, you need to put the effort in.
Yeah.
You know, manifest and put in the effort, and then you're going to get magic. You're going to get there.
Yeah.
You just have to be patient, but you will get there.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that you both show the balance and that you've been successful through the collaboration of both, because sometimes it's either or. I notice a lot of individuals or people or teams or companies just trying to manifest. And it's all about prayer. It's all about meditation, but then wondering why there's no result. Yeah. And then the other side is, oh, we're just hustling. All right.
I'm like, Mom, you pray all day. You need to also take action. She's like, no, I just want to pray all day. And I'm like, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful, yeah.
You're such a beautiful soul. But I think my dad's the opposite. He works all day.
That's why they work well together.
That's true. I never thought about that till now. But yeah, they're the complete opposite. So I think we kind of got inspiration from the two of them, like my mom from her spiritual side, my dad from his practical, like, let's work hard side. But I think to find the most success, you have to do both. It's so important.
I love that. That's such a beautiful message too.
Yeah.
Because like we can get lost on either extreme of hustle and grind or meditation and manifestation.
Totally.
And it's the marriage of both, like in your parents' marriage, of bringing them both together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about a year and a half ago when we were just so busy just keeping up with all the crazy work that we had, we were definitely lost in our hard work. We were like a hamster in a wheel and we're just constantly just keeping up with our to-do list. And we didn't really think strategically. And I think having that time in the morning. And then also something that one of our investors told me about, she's like, you need to schedule in slack time. And I was like, what is slack time? And she's like, time where you schedule nothing. And I was like, what is that? I don't even know what you mean by that. And she's like, you just need to put in an hour or 2 hours for you to think. And I was like, this is interesting. But it's so funny because most people who have, you know, 9 to 5, 9 to 6 jobs, they don't schedule time to think.
Yes.
And now that I do that, I find it crazy that I didn't do it because you need time to just kind of download all your thoughts, download everything that you had in meetings and just all the progress that you have or the challenges you have and just think about it and reflect and create a plan.
Absolutely. Yeah, I often say that, you know, all of our phones, we know when our battery is at 20% and then it gives us an alert at 10%, but we don't have that for our own check.
So like
we don't have a signal from ourselves to us that, hey, you're on 10% now, hey, you're on 3% now, oh wait, you need to recharge. And
that's
and
so
often
true.
With our willpower or whatever we may be, we push past that recharge. But we all know our phones die if they don't get recharged. You know, they burn out.
We need an app for that.
We do need an app for that.
That's so
definitely
true.
Like just being able to give us an alert on on our energy levels, on our mental space. I've been taking for the past couple of months 2 days a week where I'm just being creative, which means I pick up a random book on my shelf or I make notes and there's no real agenda for the day. There's no goal or deadline.
Yeah.
It's just to have space to think. And I can honestly agree that that's made me more effective and impactful when I have to be on all the time.
Right.
So I love that point.
I never thought about that. Like I need to check myself because I don't really pay attention to when I'm on E or 10%. It's just, I think we've always had that, me and Huda both, we've always had that mentality of just work until exhaustion.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you should check in on yourself sometimes.
Yeah, just even just sitting and just sensing with our body, like where am I feeling pain or where am I feeling aches? Where am I feeling great? Where am I feeling good? And then the same with the mind. And I know that in my life, I've often neglected the body by focusing on mastering the mind. And then you learn the hard way sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I need to do more of that. It's all progress. I think this year has really been a year of self-awareness for both of us. For myself especially, I just feel like this year I've learned so much about myself. It's been scary.
Tell me something that you've learned about yourself, that something that's new and something that's always been there, but you're like, oh yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot. You know, it's funny, doing the reality show, Huda Boss.
I wanted to talk
about
that,
myself.
Yes. Okay, let's do
it,
yeah.
It just made me realize that...
So by the way, if you've not seen Huda Boss, you have to go and watch it. If you're listening or watching this right now, you have to, because it's such an authentic reality show.
Thank you.
And it really gives you a snapshot into how hard they work, how deeply they work, how meaningfully they work.
Thank you.
So I highly, highly recommend it. But yes, please, let's hear about it.
Where do I start? I think one thing I realized was just a lot of blockage I had in my life towards relationships and just dating and marriage and things like that. I didn't realize that till the producer just started asking me so many questions, and I was just like, never thought about these things. And I realized a lot about my upbringing as well, because having parents from the Middle East, my mom's really conservative. Like, my entire life, she was just telling me, like, dating's wrong and, like, these kind of things are all wrong. So my whole life, I've been programmed to think, oh my gosh, if I'm going on a date, it's wrong, you know? So I just realized I had so much blockage towards that, and I was avoiding meeting people because of that. So I think that was the first thing that I was like, okay, I need to stop thinking about getting married my mom's way, because it's not going to happen. It's just not something I'm comfortable with. And if I'm not going to do that, I need to be open to meeting someone on my own. So it was kind of an eye opener. And it just made me realize I put a lot of negativity towards men in general. Wow. I was just like, no, stay away. But then I didn't want an arranged marriage. So it's kind of crazy. Like, you can't do both. You have to pick, really, or merge in between, but you can't, like, avoid meeting somebody and then avoid an arranged marriage. And I just think that was something that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I think so many people from an Asian background or an Indian background or, you know, any of those backgrounds struggle with that.
Mm-hmm. And so much pressure.
So much pressure, right? There's so much pressure. And I hear that so often. We sometimes feels like the world's moved on and mm-hmm. everyone's more modern now and thinks more forward. But there are still many of us and a lot of us who are in that space. So what's your advice to someone who's listening and like, Mona, I'm in that space right now, you know? Like, how did you kind of navigate it in your mind, with your family, with your relationships, so that, and I love what you said, that you'd programmed yourself with a certain set of beliefs.
Yeah.
But you deprogrammed yourself.
I think you first need to get rid of all the negativity, because, you know, love is a beautiful thing. Finding a partner in life is a beautiful thing. Marriage is a beautiful thing. So I think that regardless of whatever route you want to take, just get rid of all the negativity, because it should be positive. You're not going to attract the right partner if you're thinking, if you feel guilty or if you think bad thoughts. So I think remove all of that and just start focusing on the goals that you want in terms of a partner, and just highlight, like, what's important to you and the values that you want to find. Because I think if you focus on that, you're going to attract people who would work, mm-hmm. you know, and take everything you've learned and just, I think you should just erase it, if I'm honest. I think all these things that we're kind of like Middle Eastern and Asians programmed to believe, you know, ethnicity, backgrounds, even religion. I mean, for me, it's just, I feel like it shouldn't be what you're searching for. I feel like it should be the common denominator of just values and goals in life and how you want to raise your children, if, you know, if you want to have some. So I think focusing on that has changed a lot, because before I was just like, I was kind of all over. I was like, my parents want this, I want that. And I was just scattered all over. And then I just had blockage. It was like, nope, not interested, because it's too complicated. And I was complicating everything. And then just opening up to my parents, I think that I've realized all they really want is for you to be happy. Like, all your parents, I think, no matter where you're from, I think even if they think they're trying to control you to follow their footsteps of whatever route they took, in the end of the day, they're only doing that because they think it's going to make you happy. It's not about a checklist in general. I mean, I'm sure there are some parents who still want you to follow specific traditional things, but I think the meaning behind it all is just to see you be successful and happy in what they think happiness is. So yeah, I had very honest conversations with my parents, and thankfully they were very supportive.
Yeah,
and it's been good. It's positive. I have the blockage removed, and I'm just a lot more open, and I think my energy is a lot more open as well.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So that was the first thing I realized. I was like, I need to stop being negative towards guys. Men are great, and, you know, I think having a partner is important. Yes. It's not a necessity, but it's great. If you find the right person, I think it can add a lot of value into your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And before, I was still talking to guys, but it was all very negative, because I had that negative energy towards it. I had that guilt. So I was meeting guys, but it was just like the wrong kind of guy. And I think it was all from the blockage. So get rid of blockage.
Great advice.
No room for blockage in your life.
Yeah.
In any area.
Yeah. Anything else you learned? I love that one, by the way. That's your level of self-observation and self-study is beautiful to see.
Thank you.
Because just the way you're speaking about, and I hope everyone listening, I really want you to take this seriously. Everything Mona is sharing is huge, huge takeaways.
Oh,
so everything you're sharing is so powerful, because I feel all of us are telling ourselves stories in our minds. We're blocking our minds with so many subconscious thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I'm often talking about how, like, the world's fascinated with learning, but the real need is unlearning. Like, the real need is to unlearn what we believe is true, because that's, like you said, creating what you're attracting in your life.
Yeah.
So please, when you're listening to Mona on this episode, just look at it from that perspective of what in your life is blocking you. What story in life have you been telling yourself about relationships, about someone you're attracted to, about work, about career, that's actually stopping you from moving you forward?
Yeah, it's very true. Unlearning is a big part of it. So I think from the show, it's just like, I need to unlearn a lot of things.
Because you used to watch yourself back?
Yeah.
How did that feel the first time?
I was like, who's this person? Like, I think especially in the beginning, I just got super uptight. And Hida makes fun of me. She says I have like pageant princess syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was in the pageants as a child. So I was like really taught to be poised and like, you know, just pose a certain way, carry myself a certain way. But I really think that that was kind of negative in a way, because I feel like it really taught you to be, try to be perfect, which I think is just so unrealistic. And I think that you should never encourage people to be perfect. You're setting them up for failure almost, and you set them up to be too hard on themselves. So that was something that I realized through the show, that I need to get that out of my head. Perfect doesn't exist. Just be your goofy, fun self and you'll be happier. People will be happier around you. And just, I learned I needed to loosen up more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still working on it.
But you all do it so beautifully. Like, I always feel when I'm watching your stories, I get so happy.
Really?
On Instagram, yeah, because I feel like there isn't that. Yeah, exactly what you said. You're being your fun. And I didn't call you goofy. You called yourself goofy.
I want to be goofy.
Yeah, as in, yeah, but your fun, goofy self. Like, I don't feel that there's that filter or there's that lens by which you're thinking, oh no, but this is our brand and etc. And I think that's why people love you all so much and are attracted to your energy, because it's so genuine. And I know the word authentic is so overused, but I feel like it's transparent and you're not afraid.
I
like transparent, because it's like you're not afraid for people to see you as you are in that moment. And I guess, and I'd love to talk to you a bit about that, because how do you find it? Because in one sense, beauty and the way the media has worked with beauty for years and decades has always been about perfection. Mm-hmm. Like, I always joked about this. I remember aisles of the makeup side of brands that would say, get the natural look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, how do you get the natural look? Like, you have a natural look when you wake up, right? And so tell us a bit about how you've managed that balance between building this huge, incredible beauty brand, which is built on inner beauty to outer beauty, positive energy, but how you maintain that balance between not valuing perfection, but not selling it, like not telling people to be perfect.
I think we're really lucky to be, to have been, sorry.
Yeah,
I think we're really lucky to have Huda Beauty start in a time where there's social media, because I think previously it just wasn't possible to share the message that, you know, scars are beautiful, beauty marks are beautiful, asymmetry is beautiful, and just, you know, now is such a special time, because I feel like with social media, everybody has a voice, and that's so amazing. And everybody feels like they're included, because in the past, it was like these big, huge conglomerates decided on what the advertisements would look like. And everybody thought they had to look like that. And I think the conglomerates thought that people wanted that.
Yeah.
But they don't realize nobody wants that. Nobody wants to feel like they have to look like a Barbie. You know, that's just, it just makes you feel so insecure in so many ways. So I think that now, because of social media, we all celebrate looking different, being different. And that's something so special. And I think that's something we're super lucky to be a part of now, where cosmetics now are all about celebrating yourself and enhancing your own beauty. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just be the best version of yourself. And even if that means some days you don't want to wear makeup at all, and you just want to be in your pajamas and go to the grocery store like that, do it. Do whatever makes you feel good, because confidence is more beautiful than anything.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. Life can be a wild ride, and sometimes our gut gets thrown off track. So that butterfly in your stomach? It's probably not from excitement. It's more likely from stress or certain food choices you had for breakfast. And Ritual can help you get things back on track.
They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Every morning, I start my day with Synbiotic Plus. It's now an essential part of my daily routine. With its blend of prebiotics, postbiotics, and all that good stuff, I'm giving my gut the love it needs to tackle whatever comes its way throughout the day. There's no shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whenever I travel, I feel like I become a new person. Like that time I explored the bustling streets of New York, I felt like I became Curious Jay, immersing myself in the vibrant culture and sampling exotic street food. And then there was that trip to the mountains where I transformed into Adventurous Jay, conquering hiking trails and embracing the breathtaking scenery. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to for all my adventures. Whether I'm exploring the bustling streets of New York or venturing into the serene mountains, Booking.com has a wide variety of options, offering accommodations all across the US and all around the world that suit every kind of traveler. So when you're ready to plan your next trip and discover new sides of yourself, remember to book with Booking.com. Whether you're craving adventure in a cabin, a bit of luxury in a fancy hotel, some quality family time in a vacation rental, or just some chill vibes at a beachside resort, Booking.com has you covered. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, booking.yeah.
So we're trying hard to just celebrate that message with everybody right now. But it is a challenge. It still is a challenge. You know, you get a lot of people who say, oh, I don't look like that. And it's like, we try so hard to make sure people don't feel like they need to look like anybody else, but it's a challenge. And it's, yeah. I think, something that the beauty industry will always kind of struggle with, because people think it is all about how you look, but it really isn't. It's about how you feel.
Yes.
And we want to make people feel good. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you are.
I hope so.
I see that from the people that comment on your posts and all the great new products and lines that you're launching. I see that love. I see
thank
that
you.
Genuineness from the people that are following you and inspired
we
by
try.
You.
We try. You know, yeah. I never want to make people feel like they need to look a specific way. And that's another reason why we try to post videos and photos of ourselves without makeup and looking silly and being ourselves, just like every human would do. Because I feel like when you just show this perfectly filtered, photoshopped image, people will feel like they need to be that, and they don't.
Especially Photoshop.
No.
Yeah, Photoshop.
I tried to stop photoshopping my photos. I still do sometimes, yeah. But like, I'm trying not to, because I feel like, again, you're selling the wrong message. You're just making people think unrealistic thoughts. And, you know, even with other things, Hood and myself have been super open about plastic surgery, just enhancements, because, again, we don't want people to think, oh, we were born this way, or we look this way naturally. Like, I get my Botox and fillers on the regular. My doctor's on speed dial. And I'm like, if you want to do that too, here's what I did, and this is my advice, but you don't have to. But again, it's just a matter of being completely honest, because I don't want people to think that, oh, you know, everybody should just be blessed with natural good looks. You know, everybody has potential to look a specific way and feel a specific way. And you should just feel good in your own skin. And if you want help, we'll help you get there.
Yeah.
If you want to. But again, we're not trying to encourage people to change themselves, but we just want to be honest about what we do.
Yeah. And that's
so important.
And that's the best, right? That's all of us can do is be honest about our choices so that people have that transparency. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, I don't know if you've seen, but Hedda sometimes posts like her Photoshop before and after.
Yes.
She still puts the Photoshop photo, but she shows you the before, just so you know, like, this has been touched up. It's just the industry we're in.
Yes.
Hopefully one day nobody will Photoshop their photos and they'll leave their stretch marks and everything else. But right now it's just...
Totally.
It's still the name of the game, but we try to show the before and after so you know it's been enhanced.
Yeah. That authenticity is amazing. I think that's beautiful to see that, because you're not scared or fearful of putting yourself out there, because you don't need to do that. No one's asking you to do that.
No.
And I'm happy to see that.
Thank you. Yeah. I think the truth sets you free.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like,
because otherwise you feel you're holding on to this thing that people might find out and might see, and then it's uncomfortable.
Completely.
Yeah, lying is uncomfortable.
It is. It's super uncomfortable. And I feel like, as well, just holding things back, it's just... When you're super honest about everything, you just have this lightness and this freedom to yourself. And I feel like that's when you have more creativity. You're just, you don't have, it's again, like the blockage. You don't have the blockage.
Yeah.
Get it all out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I read this awesome study the other day that was talking about how this is so simple again, but I have to raise it because if you meditate on it, it makes a lot of sense that when you're lying, you have to remember the lie and the truth. And what that does is it takes up more brain space, it takes up more brain energy, and it's stressing out your ability to recall. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you just tell the truth and you share the truth, then you have nothing else to remember, and then it becomes simple.
It's so true.
So it just, you know, even from a neuroscientist point of view, it's just making the brain's processing a lot easier. And then obviously we know from a spiritual point of view, it's making your...
Feel good.
Yeah, exactly, the fulfillment.
That's so true. I learned that as a child. I think that was the last time I lied. It was like to my parents, and I was like, I can't do this. This is too much stress in life. I can't carry on. But no, that's a great point. So we just want to be honest with everyone. And again, I think the more honest we are with people, the more we'll be able to help people. Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate goal. You know, it's great to create products. It's great to achieve all these records that we've broken in terms of selling product and everything, but the ultimate goal is to really help people feel better about themselves.
Yeah. I was reading a lot of your interviews and Huda's as well before today. I always like doing my research and hearing things that I haven't heard before. And there was a part where Huda was talking about how you're just such a good judge of character and passions and noticing people's like skills and their potential. And that's how we worked with Huda too when you first started out. Like you felt that she was so in love with beauty and her passion was there. Tell us about that journey, because I think a lot of people struggle with identifying themselves, but not only have you identified your own, you're helping other people identify theirs. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think similarly to you, like my whole life, I kind of grew up with Tony Robbins and all these really inspirational mentors. I never met him, but I feel like he's my mentor anyway. Yeah. You're my mentor now, though. I think you've replaced everybody. I just watch your videos all day.
You should just call me.
I know that you're busy, so I'm just like, I just watch your videos.
Honestly, from now on, and this, I'm saying it on the record.
Thank you.
Like, please.
Thanks, you're so sweet. Yeah. Thank you. But, you know, so I just always used to watch Tony Robbins. He was like a big one for me. I think I started listening to his videos at like 14 when I went through a hard time. And it was just the thing I always noticed him repeating was passion. And I was like, what do people have passion for? And I would always watch people and just notice like when their eyes would light up and when they'd spark. And for Huda specifically, it was beauty. You know, she would always spend all of her free time talking about makeup and beauty products. And one day I was just staring at her. It was a little while after she lost her job. And she was just trying to figure things out and just try to figure out what she wanted to do in life. And at that time, she had left her job in financial recruitment. And she was just like looking for another job like that my parents would be happy with. And you know, another job that would tick a box of like, okay, my daughter's successful because she's filling, you know, a job that everybody expects her to have. And none of us thought outside of that box. Mm. And one day I just stared at her and I was like, you need to do beauty. Like, I've never seen anyone so passionate about makeup and beauty and just that creative part of your life. You love it so much. And I just started staring at her. It was kind of weird. And I was like, I had this like epiphany. And I was like, you have to do this. And I went downstairs and I started talking to my parents. I was like, you guys have to support Huda, like help her, just give her that support. And then she went down and she told them the same thing. And they were just super supportive. It was the most bizarre thing because my entire life, my dad has been very pro education. You need to do your bachelor's, your master's, your PhD, and then another PhD. Like he's just gone that route for himself. So I didn't expect them to be cool about it, and they totally were. And like a week later, she was in LA studying beauty. It was kind of surreal.
Wow. And you transitioned also from banking. So you had that big transition. How did you feel when you were leaving the traditional success pathway?
It was really hard. For me, it was harder because I quit. I didn't get fired. So it was like I made the decision to like close that chapter and leave. And it was so hard. I knew I had to because I knew I didn't want to do it, but I didn't even tell my boss in person. I sent an email and my sister Alia had to press the send button. They drafted it and I was so nervous that maybe I'm making a mistake that I was like, I can't do it. Please send the send button. And she sent it right away and I was like, no, I didn't mean right now. I was like, let's talk about it. But she sent it.
And were you just waiting there for the response?
I was so nervous. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just screwed myself. Like I didn't know what I'm going to do now. What am I going to do for like my life? And it was definitely really hard, but I knew in my heart that it wasn't something that I had passion for. Mm. And I was still figuring myself out. Mm. So I didn't start working in beauty right away. I went into PR and business consulting, which helped me a lot. It taught me so much about just starting your own business and just marketing yourself and just the way PR works, because I had no idea about it. I studied finance, so it was all like new information for me, but it definitely helped me learn a lot that helped us with Huda Beauty and another business that I started. I had a business before we went into Huda Beauty. I had the dollhouse. Oh, yeah. So that was a great experience and I learned so much. And it also taught me, I'm not saying business is easy, but it taught me how not hard it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not unachievable. If you put your mind to it, anything is possible. And I think just having that smaller success with the dollhouse made me realize, okay, anything's possible. Let's put our minds together and let's create what you want. And I saw that Huda, you know, her passion is beauty. And then I just told her, like, we need to start a line for you because you have so much input on every product. She's the biggest critic. She's the perfectionist. So I know that she could improve standards on everything. So we started first with the lashes. And again, it was just, I think building yourself with small successes helps you get the confidence for the big ones. So just experiment. Mm. That's what I did. I just started experimenting. And to be honest, I was like a serial entrepreneur. A lot of them were failures. Yeah. Thank God they weren't big ones. They were small things. And, you know, I just think learning from all those failures teaches you so much.
Yeah.
And we still have challenges all the time. We have so many hiccups all the time. Like at least once a week, there's like, oh my God, we're going to have to close down. This is a disaster. But like, you just realize from your experience in the past, you're like, okay, we got through that. We can probably get through this. Mm. Let's pivot, put our minds together and find a solution. And, it's been a crazy, crazy journey.
Yeah, I saw that episode where you talked about how you'd lost 2 million or something like that. And I was just like, wow, you put this on an episode? I was just like, that's where I was just like, wow, you guys are really transparent. And it's great for people to see the reality of it, because it's so easy for us to sit back and be like, oh, Mona and Huda, they just have amazing lives and their lives are incredible. And there's, you know, there's no challenges anymore. But then when you put that out, and I was like, wow. And it's great for people to see you dealing with moving through that.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Like sometimes talking about your failures, it's embarrassing. Sometimes you're like, oh gosh, you don't want the whole world to know you messed up. And you know, sometimes it's simple mistakes that have such a huge repercussion, especially the bigger you get, the more those small mistakes make such a big impact and can be really negative. But we spoke to our investors about it beforehand and they gave us their blessing. They're like, okay, if you really feel like you want to share this, this is who you are, share it. And we're like, okay, great. So we just want to be super honest. And again, like we want people to know we're achieving this, but anyone can in any area, whether it's beauty, fashion, anything, food, whatever it is, just put your mind to your passion and just keep going. Never give up.
Two questions. If someone's out there and they're struggling to find their passion, this is something I'm super passionate about myself. If someone's struggling to find their passion, what's the first thing that they should do? What's your advice? Where do they start?
It's hard because I think I've even struggled with this before. And I feel like to a certain extent, I still feel this way because I love what I do, but I still feel many times there's things that are missing out of my life. So I think you should just spend a lot of time on your own. And that's something I've been doing for the past year. I'm like, I need to spend time with myself to figure out like what makes me tick, what keeps me excited, what would you do for free? Like, what would you do if there was no payment? You know, I think that's how we should all live our lives. And figure that out and then just try to spend the most amount of time doing that. And then before you know it, you're going to make a life out of it. Yeah. Hopefully something that can cover your expenses and more and that you can impact the world with. But I think that just figuring out what makes you tick and what excites you, like when you're exhausted and you have no sleep, what do you think about? Not people, obviously, not the drama. Because sometimes I feel like when we're tired, we think about the drama, but like think about your dreams. Like if you were 5 years old again and you were just daydreaming about what you wanted to be when you grew up, what would that be? And just find a way to make that happen, as crazy as that sounds. Even if it's Superman, find out why did you want to be Superman, you know? Or if you want to be a mom, why did you want to be a mom? Do you like taking care of people? Like, what is it? So find out what gets you excited.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, I always talk about like meaning and happiness to me is how you feel about yourself when you're by yourself. And that's why what you said, being alone is so important sometimes, because when we're not alone, we fill the gaps with different things, or we find things that make us feel happy or give us pleasure or joy or whatever it may be. And you can almost mask yourself from finding what it really is. Whereas when you're on your own, even though it can be uncomfortable to start with, as I'm sure it was, like it's just like, oh no. But it does start to make you think, okay, how can I be happy with myself, by myself, and start that journey?
It's very true. It was about 2 years ago, I kind of realized I need to spend more time with myself. And I think everybody should do it. Mm. But it was super lonely, and I got kind of depressed because I really just kind of took myself out of everything and just really spent time alone. But I did realize so many things I was doing wrong in life, and I just kind of recentered myself. So I recommend it to everyone, like have at least a 4-hour session at one period once a week by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and it's great advice. I highly recommend it too. I think it's uncomfortable.
I think
especially we live in a world where it's like loneliness is seen as bad because isolation and loneliness have increased so much. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is because we don't know how to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great advice, especially for people, entrepreneurs, business people who I think feel like they have to be networking all the time or have to be out and about all the time. Mm-hmm. But to take that pause, press
There's
pause.
So much power in slowing down. Mm-hmm. Because then you get faster. But not from being busier, you just get more strategic. So just slow down, everything's gonna be fine. I remember once when I think it was about 1.5 years ago, my friends kidnapped me. They took me on a birthday surprise
nice
trip.
Friends.
They're so amazing. Yeah, they're so sweet. They saw me working like a crazy person and they were like, you really need a holiday. So they took me to Sri Lanka, and it was a point right before we got investors. So it was like literally on emails from when I woke up to when I slept. It was probably the most insane part of my life. And I remember one of my friends was saying, she was like, okay, if you don't answer the email, what's going to happen? I was like, we're going to be upset. It's not good business. And then she was like, then what's going to happen? And I was like, it's going to make me have less opportunities. And she's like, she just kept asking that question, then what will happen? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, you're not going to die, right? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And she's like, and then what will happen? And I was like, I guess I die. And then you just realize like we build everything up to be so big in our heads when really it's not. You know, you just need to be calm and just realize no matter what happens, you're going to deal with it and just get rid of that anxiety of the pressure that we put on ourselves.
If you're listening and watching to this, I hope you're nodding as much as I am. Because it's such the sense of calm. I can feel it in your voice and your energy that it's not a good tip. And I want everyone to know that, like I'm sitting with Mona right now, like it's not a good tip. It's not just a smart thing to do. It's like she's really practicing this.
Trying.
Yeah,
I still
trying,
have moments
yeah.
where I get so
totally.
Much anxiety and I catch myself. I'm like, why am I anxious? I need to calm down. Everything will be okay. Like, no matter what you're going through, it'll be okay. Like, there's always a solution, no matter what. So you just need to calm yourself down so you can find the solutions, because you can't find solutions when you're nervous and when you're stressed out and you're just... Yeah,
that's so. The point. There you go. That's a beautiful point. Yeah, when you're stressed out, you're nervous, all that anxious energy, that's not going to move you forward.
Usually move backwards because you make bad decisions. They're decisions out of fear. They're decisions out of stress and anxiety. So I think it's been about 1 year now where I've just slowed down and I'm just really trying to catch myself. Every time I sense the anxiety, I'm like, I need to take a breather, just meditate and just pray.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for those amazing, amazing reminders. I wanted to talk to you about your new fragrance because I know you're very excited about it.
Did you guys get it?
No.
No.
I'm excited to get it.
You're supposed to get it.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Have we got it?
We've sent it to you.
She probably
guys.
Stole it and kept it
okay.
for herself.
It might be right? it might be in LA. Hopefully it's
okay.
been sent to you.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even know we were getting some. I was gonna get some. Yeah, they looked amazing.
Thank
we're
you.
So excited for
thank you.
You
so much.
So excited
thank
for you. And I started looking into it because I'm so excited. What I loved was your kind of deep dive into the research of fragrances.
I love fragrance.
Yeah, but you love fragrance, and I think a lot of people want to build fragrances or have a cool idea or whatever it is, but you do the work. Like, tell us about the process of creating a fragrance.
Thank you. It's been very interesting. To be very honest, like, I decided probably about 7 years ago, that I wanted to create a fragrance because I've been a fragrance junkie since I was, like, 18, probably. And since then, all my money that I made from working, I would save up everything just to buy perfume. And I was like, this isn't working out for me. I'm so broke. And like every dollar.
I saw that video with your wardrobe.
Yeah. It's been accumulation from like years, like over 10 years of just, and I don't throw them out. I keep them. I just love them so much. They're my babies. I know that sounds crazy. But I love fragrance. And again, it's because of the feeling it gives me. I think that with perfume, it really shifts your mind and your emotions, and it makes you feel a certain way. So like for myself, when I put on amber or something like musky, I feel like confident and I feel strong. If I put on rose, I feel feminine and just different. So I think that using it as a mood shifter is really important.
Wow.
I think it makes a difference.
It does.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make people fall in love with the feeling they get from fragrance. It's not about how you smell. It's about how you feel again. Mm. And that's something that we try to do with our beauty products. It's just about making you feel your best. And I don't know why, for me, perfume's always been something that makes me feel better. Like, I don't want to say this because I don't want to head to see, but if I had to choose between makeup and fragrance, I would definitely choose fragrance.
Should we edit that out?
I don't know, maybe. I think she knows, but I'm not sure.
It's okay. You're heading in that space
definitely, now. Yeah, I would definitely choose fragrance any day. So yeah, it was an interesting project.
So tell us about this fragrance.
So KLE, it's a new line, completely new line, and we do want to create a new just lifestyle around fragrance. Mm. So there's a lot coming out next year, which we're super excited about. There's going to be a lot more body care and other things that are going to be different. I can't say too much because Hoda will kill me.
Sure.
She's very like...
That's the better way of doing it.
Yeah. But we have a lot of things coming out next year to just really make people fall in love with fragrance and teach them about our tradition as well. And I think it's similar in India as well, where people are very into the oils, the bahur, the incense.
Oud.
The oud. So I think that just making that more global is part of our goal. We've always tried to make everything that we relate to more understandable on a global level, because I think there's so much beauty to the way we appreciate fragrance. So I hope that people around the world just experience it, and if they like it, continue. If they don't, at least they've learned about our culture, and I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. I remember even when I was a monk, and I talk about this a lot, about how, you know, diet isn't just what you eat, it's what you smell, it's what you hear, it's what you think about, it's what you see. And I feel that so much of, so many cultures are so rich in controlling the senses or giving the senses another feeling. Like, a scent can literally change your mood in an instant. Like, you know, the best experience anyone listening or watching has is of good food. When you smell good food, it changes how you feel. It also makes you hungry. It makes you want to eat. And so we're so not adept at being aware of our own senses and how they feel. And I know when I walk into a space that has beautiful music on or has a beautiful scent, again, I can feel relaxed in an instant. It's why we all love spas and jacuzzis and massage, because there's an experience for the senses. So
absolutely. And I feel that, I'm so happy that you feel that way too, because like sometimes I think it's just like a girly thing. But that's great that you feel it as well, because I feel it the same way. I feel like having the right scent around you, even if it's your home, yourself, your hair, whatever, it does make you feel stronger or happier, sleepier, whatever it is. It's aromatherapy, so I feel like it really does work. Another interesting thing as well is I really think that fragrance kind of gives you a bookmark into your life at that moment, because the first time you smell a fragrance, I feel like that is now going to be what you remember every time you smell that in the future.
Wow.
So I feel like giving the gift of fragrance, that's why I love receiving it as a gift, because I'm like, when I open a new fragrance and all the times that I got them in the past, it's like I would immediately remember that point in my life every time I smell it again. So I just think giving that as a present is so nice. So if you can find something.
I'm excited. You're going to bookmark a moment in my life.
Yes, I am.
With that gift. We're going to have to find out which fragrance she doesn't have. It's going to be our job.
You're
going to
love that.
Yeah, that's such a, I love that. A fragrance is a bookmark. Yeah,
it
that's
is. Beautiful. Yeah. Like a scent anyway, whatever it is. It's like if you can just take it in deeply and just really smell it and just remember that moment every time you smell that in the future. And if it's years later, you're going to go back and you're going to think of that. And one of my best friends in university, she gave me the most beautiful fragrance that I still wear to this day. And every time I smell it, I think of her.
Yeah.
And I think of that moment when we were in university, just two very inexperienced girls just loving life and just buying perfume. And I'm like, adolescence before the stress and everything. But it's
that's how I feel about sandalwood paste. So sandalwood paste is very commonly used in the tradition. I was a monk, etc., for markings on the body.
Oh my gosh,
and it's so true that whenever I smell that, I literally can transport myself back to those moments. Yeah, so you're so right.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I want to share that with the world and just make people fall in love with it, because I feel like beauty is really, it really gets its moment. Fashion gets its moment. Other things get their moment. But fragrance, I feel like it's really been neglected.
You're like representing.
I'm like, no, we need to fall in love with
the minority of fragrances.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just really, I want to educate people about it as well. Sure. And just educate them about the oils, the raw ingredients. The manufacturer we work with, Fier Vaniche, they're super careful about how they source ingredients. And they're sustainable as well. So if they pick roses, they plant roses. If they take vanilla, they invest in the vanilla fields. So it's important really important. It's very important to me that the people we work with are careful with what they're doing to the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I read that. So I'm going to move into the final 5 minutes, which are our final five questions.
Oh, and this has been so great.
Have you enjoyed it?
I was so nervous.
You've been amazing. Like, literally.
I was like, so I had so much anxiety this morning, and I was like, oh no. But then I was like, calm down. It's going to be great. Jay's amazing. We're friends. And this is going to be actually, you're so amazing to talk to.
Oh, you're the
you
best.
You really are. No, you are. You're so amazing.
You're like sharing so many incredible insights. I'm like, I'm taking mental notes right now. And I'm hoping everyone at home is taking notes or wherever you are at work, wherever you're listening, watching, because you've shared so many great insights.
Really?
Like,
thank
you. Honestly, so
many. I feel
like
it's all from your videos.
No, it's not. don't do that. Don't say that. It's not at all.
I love your videos. I've become so obsessed recently. To be honest, I found you, I think, on IG October last year, 2017. Okay. I think that was the first time. But recently, I've been overdosing on Jay Shetty. Oh. And I've actually fallen asleep to your videos. And then I'm like, okay, this is a bit weird because I'm friends with them now. But you're so amazing. You're so inspirational. Oh, really. So you're my new role model. Like, I got asked in an interview the other day. I mean, I still love Tony Robbins, if you're out there. But you're like the new one. I'm like, Jay Shetty is the man. You're like,
you're the sweetest. And I want you to know that. You can literally call me up.
Thank you.
I'm not even just saying that.
Thank you.
You have to test it now.
You're so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, we've fallen in love with you. Definitely, I was thinking about Thanksgiving. I was thinking about all the people that I met this year. And you know.
You're
definitely,
that.
Without a doubt, like in the top one.
Thank you.
But, you know, just yeah, it's just been so wonderful. It's just been, it's so rare. And we were talking about this. As you get older, and for everyone who's listening, I'm sure you feel this. As you get older, it's so hard to make real friendships. And we can live busier lives as we get older. Mm-hmm. We're all busier with work and business and family and whatever it may be. And so to find people that you're like, oh, wow, I think they'd make time for me and I'd make time for, you know, that feeling is so rare. And I love feeling that.
Yeah.
So when I get that feeling now.
It's the best feeling ever.
Absolutely.
That's true. Thank you.
But I've got five questions left. Sure. I'm not letting you go yet.
No,
So these are my questions. The first one was, I've read that you're fascinated by agriculture and the environment.
I am.
And so tell us about why that's such an important area for you to want to learn about.
This is something that I also feel guilty about, to be honest, because I was telling you, like, I have my passion for the beauty industry. It's great, but I always feel like there's something missing. And I feel like the world needs our help, and I haven't found my way yet, and I feel kind of guilty sometimes. I don't want to feel guilty because it's wrong, but I feel like I need to put more effort into it because I'm not educated enough on the environment and also agriculturally, like what the world needs. But I feel that, you know, I love giving people confidence, but also what is it going to be worth if the planet's in trouble? Mm-hmm. So for myself, I would love to dedicate my future years of my life to helping the planet. And I'd love to start now, to be honest. So if you find something interesting, a new initiative, I'm ready to support. And I think that, you know, people like yourself, like, let's work together to find some solutions because the planet needs our help. And
absolutely.
It's for the future. You know, it's maybe not for ourselves, but, you know, it's for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to grow up in a world that's unhealthy and trees and everything. I think the condition of just the animals and the plants, I just want to see people have a great, beautiful life. And I want to leave the planet better than we entered it.
That's such a beautiful way of putting it. And I get really fascinated and so happy when all of us have our thing that we love and we're successful. But then using that as an energy to say, actually, I'm going to make time to serve the planet back and think about another space.
Yeah.
I think that's such a wonderful responsibility. I remember it was Muhammad Ali who said that service to others is the rent we pay for our room here on earth.
So true.
Yeah, and it's just such a beautiful sentiment, and I love it because I always think of them like, how can we serve the planet? We take so much from the planet. Like, Mother Earth is just giving, 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 giving. And to want to give back is just such a noble belief. When I lived as a monk and we helped build this eco-village. So this eco-village is a sustainable village that shows what village land could look like and should look like from a sustainability point of view in a way that can maintain most of the planet that's like that. So we need to go there together first.
Should.
Yeah, it's just built on biotechnology and the cutting edge technology that's bringing together eco-living and humanity. So we've definitely got to figure that out together.
Yeah, I feel bad about that because I do feel like I'm not doing enough.
Me too.
I met somebody yesterday at the gala, the BOF gala, and they're working on cosmetic packaging that's recyclable and reusable. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find something I could do business-wise. And then there was this incredible woman. She's actually a dame. She became a dame from the Queen. Her name is Ellen, I forget her last name though, but she's also working on just reducing plastic consumption in the world and also helping people who do produce plastic to make it more recyclable and everything. So I feel there's a big space for improvement, but I hope that we can do something.
Yeah.
And I would love to learn more about the village and see what can we do to make this cool.
Absolutely.
And
make
people want to be a part of it.
Totally. Yeah. No, 100%. Okay. Beautiful answer. We're going to do that. We're going to figure
this. The planet needs our help.
It does. We're going to figure it out together.
I hope so.
Absolutely. We have to.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, it's not even
totally
a choice.
Have to.
Yeah, we have to. I'm now moving from my extremely deep and meaningful topic to something funnier and lighter.
Okay.
Because it's I love paradoxes.
Okay.
I love
Me
people
too.
Who can represent, like, can laugh and then be serious and change the world, but also, you know, and I think that's important for our wellness. But you're a huge karaoke fan.
Oh my God, I am.
Yeah. And so you were nervous to come on here, but you're so the first person that grabs the mic when it comes to karaoke.
I am. What's, do you have a microphone?
Do you want to sing?
No.
You want to sing for us?
No, here's, no, I got really nervous.
Here's the teleprompter. We've got it now.
But I'd love to go with you guys.
Well, oh yeah. Maybe you two. Yeah, I'm the shy one when it comes to karaoke. I have a terrible singing voice, by the way.
It's even funner.
Oh yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. For
us.
Okay. Yeah, for you. Yeah. Yeah, for you. But tell us about what's your favorite karaoke song and when was the last time you went?
Okay, so
who'd be your ideal karaoke partner, actually? Let's do that.
Probably Huda.
Okay.
We love to sing together. Yes. Ever since we were children, she would make me sing every Disney song with her. But she'd always make me be the boy. So like now and it's so annoying.
That's
like,
so funny. So you'd be Aladdin.
I'm always Aladdin.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I'm like, it's cool. But also I'm like, no, now you have to be the boy.
Yeah.
I wanna be Jasmine, but she still doesn't let me. But I'd probably go with Huda. We love singing. And I think it's such a good stress release, actually. Mm. Like, I feel like every time I just sing my heart out, I feel so much lighter.
Yeah.
You get all that energy out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great.
And you also make fun of yourself, so it's good.
Well, you're going to make fun of me now, it sounds like.
So, yes.
Yeah, we'll have to find a
way. What would be your song?
That is so hard for me. Karaoke was never part of my life growing up, so it's such an alien thing to me. And I remember going through to a few work events. When it was a thing, I remember one of my friends doing an Elvis song.
Ew.
And he absolutely rocked it. Every guy just stepped back. Like, all of us were just like, okay, no, we'll just
people
leave it
like
here.
People like that are really annoying to sing with.
He was incredible. Ollie Riley, if you're listening to this or watching this, I will never forget that performance in Chicago.
That's amazing.
He literally grabbed the mic. He was dancing with all the girls. He was incredible. And every guy just went, okay, no.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of my friends followed up with Eminem. I'd do an Eminem song, I guess.
Oh, really?
I was a huge Eminem fan when I was growing up. Yeah, that was
my
like passion growing up.
Wow.
So I can do that. I can rap. I won't sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm down.
Yeah.
I need to go.
I love it. Okay, awesome. The third question I wanted to ask you is, what's your biggest challenge right now and what are you doing to work through it?
That's a lot.
Okay, so pick one.
My biggest challenge right now, I would probably say just finding more purpose.
Mm.
You know, that kind of haunts me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I do feel that guilt again, and I'm just trying to transform it from guilt into action.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out what can I do that's more meaningful in life, because I love what I do and I don't want anyone to get it wrong. Like, I have passion for what I do, but I need more.
Yeah.
And so I think just figuring out what that more is and how I can make that happen, it's something that I still haven't worked out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're
going to
do that. We're going to do that. That's my
fact.
That's literally my... Passion and purpose are just my favorite words and favorite experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally believe that purpose is somewhere that everyone should want to get to. And instead of feeling guilt, I really feel you've planted the intention and the seed of wanting to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the perfect start.
Yeah.
Like, not having done it up to... And first of all, for everyone who's listening, Mona does plenty of purpose work.
I don't know.
Like, plenty of work.
More.
Like, I recently asked her to support some work I was doing with YouTube, etc. And she was just wanting to support it. So first of all, you do a lot of great work for the world.
You're so sweet.
And so it's not something you're not doing. But I do believe... I totally get what you're saying. And yeah, don't feel guilty about it.
I think I feel guilty a lot.
Mm.
And I think maybe that's something I need to work on. Like, in general, I think it's that guilt towards not helping people enough. But even with myself, like, it's my natural reaction is to feel guilty. Like, I'm not doing good enough, or I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not achieving enough, or I'm not being good enough to people. Like, I just want to do more for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think that's my biggest challenge, and I'm trying to work on that. But
thank you for sharing that so openly.
Yeah.
I think that's part, a big part of Middle Eastern and Asian culture, too.
Yeah, your like parents make you feel guilty about everything.
Everything, right, yeah, everything. You're 99%,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's something I need to unlearn.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we can work on that together.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love that. That'd be so fun to do. And so that was the third question. Fourth question is, what's the best advice you've ever received?
I don't know. It's so hard.
Or anything so that stays in your mind, or a mantra, or something that you repeat to yourself that kind of holds you when you need it to.
Well, one mantra that I love, I think it's significant to myself and Huda, just because we have such hungry appetites for progression, is that every delay has a blessing. It's an Arabic saying. It's kul takhira fi khira. And
that's,
it's
beautiful.
Just, yeah, and I think that we, one of the biggest struggles we had in life is just being patient, because you want so much and you work so hard too. It's not like we just want so much. We're also working so hard. So not seeing things happen fast enough was always frustrating, and that frustration would just drain you. So getting rid of that, just saying, there's a reason for this. Be patient. Understand that you're going to look back and you're going to be so grateful that things worked out exactly that way. It's really changed the way I feel about every crazy thing that happens every week. You know, every week there's something that doesn't work out, and I'm like, every delay has a blessing. It's okay. So that's helped me a lot.
That is a real gift you've given me today, because I've thought of that often, and I've had that reflection and realization often, but I've never found the right words to say it in.
So true.
So yeah, my words have always been, don't judge the moment. Mm-hmm. So I never judge the moment, because like you said, like, that could turn out to be the best thing in the world. But that's a really beautiful gift. Thank you for sharing that with me. Yeah,
I love yours too. Don't judge the moment, because I think we always do.
We do label it
completely, and I'm trying to like get out of myself and just to like look down and see like what is going on, and just try not to judge what I'm in, because I think that we all kind of do that. Like whenever we have a problem, we become so absorbed in it, and then we forget about all the rationale we have.
Yeah,
and we get so emotional about it. So now I'm trying to not judge the situation and just try to like use my analytical brain a bit better.
Yeah.
But it's hard, it's discipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My fifth question is there anything that you intuitively feel that you want to share with my audience that you haven't said today, that there's something and you're just like, this is calling to me, because you're such a intuition and heart-based person.
I don't want to miss anything. I think you're going to change the world, Jay. I think you guys need to keep watching Jay. I think you're going to do so many incredible things, and I think that you're going to be, you know, something that, well, you already are, but I think you're just going to continue to do so much greatness for the world. And I think everybody just needs to keep watching and sharing and telling their friends about you. And I think that people like you are so important, because, you know, me and Huda always talk about this. People want to be the next beauty influencer. People want to be the next reality star, or fashion model, or fashion designer. But we don't have enough people who are like wanting to serve the world, whether it's in helping people through spirituality and just life coaching, or like doctors and things like that. So I think people like you have such a strong voice. You do it so well. You're so eloquent. You really make me want, I can't stop watching your videos. You know, in all honesty, I put them on and I'm like, I'm going to watch one before bed. And then I watch 20. So I think that to your audience, I think just keep watching Jay and share, because you're doing so much greatness for the world.
You're the sweetest.
That's true.
You're gonna make me cry.
I know, you too.
I'm holding back. Yeah, I'm like holding back. Like, I'm holding back right now. Mona, you are amazing. Anyone who's watched and listened to this, please go watch and listen to it back. Tag Mona in and share your greatest insights she gave you. She gave so many. So you can tag her on Instagram when you share this episode. And Mona, tell us where they can find you.
At Mona Katan.
Yeah, at Mona Katan everywhere. Please go and follow her. She posts an incredible world, and from everything in her life, it's just such a transparent, authentic, genuine view of an incredible, incredible person who I'm excited to see continuing to be a dear friend and going to see what you do in the future too. I genuinely feel the same way about both of you, that it's, for me, when I found out about your heart behind the success you've had, I was just like, yes, this is what we need in the world, because it's the same way you feel that we need change makers and people who are leading that way. We also need people who are doing what majority of the world inspires to do, but doing it so differently.
Thank you. And
doing it in a way that really makes you a real model for people to follow.
Thank you so much.
So, and I mean that from
my
heart.
We would love to help support you in any way, because, you know, I feel like having great people like you, I think a lot of people feel the way we feel, like where you're dedicating your life to something that I'm not going to say it's superficial, but a lot of it is. Mm. And there's that emptiness that you feel. So I think having someone like yourself who can be that person who's actually dedicating your entire life to greatness, I think that's so beautiful. And just having more awareness of people like yourself and the causes you stand for, it's important because a lot of people don't know what they can do to help. And it could be something so simple. And I think a lot of people want to feel better and feel like they're doing something more meaningful.
Thank you.
So you're amazing.
No, you are. I'm so excited to take over the world together in
Yay!
A good way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mona.
You're amazing. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
Please go find her, follow her, share this episode as well. And thank you so much for watching and listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening through to the end of that episode. I hope you're going to share this all across social media. Let people know that you're subscribed to On Purpose. Let me know, post it, tell me what a difference it's making in your life. I would love to see your thoughts. I can't wait for this incredibly conscious community we're creating of purposeful people. You're now a part of the tribe, a part of the squad. Thank you for being here. I can't wait to share the next episode with you.
I'm a huge planner. So whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.